Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf Samach Zayin, and we're holding roughly a third from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara brings a brisa of Tana Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Bamayim, Bamayim, Shtei Pa'amim. What is this all about? So you recall at the end of yesterday's daf, we said things that were astounding and amazing. Every blot, of course, is amazing, but in particular, the Gemara focused on the fact that the Torah has two psukim dealing with fish. Both of them say you have to make sure that the fish have snapir v'kaskeses in order to be able to eat the fish. Snapir is fins and kaskeses is scales. However, the Gemara was medayik from the two psukim that is only required if you are eating an aquatic creature from yamim ubanecholim. Yamim, of course, are seas, oceans, necholim are rivers. There's a requirement that you have to make sure that anything that you eat from the ocean, from the water, has fins and scales. However, learns the Gemara, if for instance you had a body of water in a kli, in a vessel, and spontaneously you had a situation of an aquatic creature growing in it, even if it doesn't have snapper v'kaskeses, you're allowed to go and eat it. It's something that we would go and call the sheretz hamayim. You do not require for sheretz hamayim to have fins and scales. Rashi, in fact, gave an example of toiloim. You have water worms. Yes, I realize none of us wants to eat water worms. I know that we look upon it as being repugnant. Absolutely. But now we're talking about the kashrus. Are you allowed to go and eat a sheretz hamayim like a worm? It doesn't have fins and scales. So the Gemara learned yesterday based on a klal uprat uklal. If you look at the two psukim, if you have the Torah or Hasholem, the first pasuk is in Aleph of yesterday. Ezeh toichlu mikol asher b'moyim. The following you're allowed to eat in the water. It has fins and scales, b'mayim, in the water. B'yamim uv'anecholim oisam toichelu. B'yam are in the seas, the necholim the rivers, those you're allowed to eat. And then you have another pasuk right after that, in the Torah or Hasholem of yesterday, was Oz Dalid. B'chol asher ein lo isnaper kaskeses b'mayim v'anecholim. What happens if you have aquatic creatures that do not have snapir v'kaskeses, no fins, no scales? What's the din? If it's again by yamim uvanecholim, sheket heim lochem, you're not allowed to eat it. It's something that you detest. It's abhorrent, repugnant. You're not allowed to go and eat any aquatic creature that does not have snapir v'kaskeses. But once again, if you're talking by yamim uvanecholim. So, at the tail end of the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, the Gemara learned a klal uprat uklal. What was the klal uprat uklal? Gemara said, it says in the pasuk, "Ezeh toichlu mikol asher b'moyim." Moyim means any body of water. And then it says right after that, "Kol asher snapir kaskeses b'mayim," any body of water. By yam v'anecholim, only in seas and rivers. That's where the din applies, legabe our din that you need the snapper for kaskeses. Now, literally, if you look at the pasuk, it's really a klal with a klal and a prat. The klal being b'mayim, again snapper kaskeses b'moyim, then finally by yam v'anecholim. Aha! So I have two klals. And after that, one prat, two clouds, both b'mayim, and then after that, b'yam v'necholim. So the Gemara said that whenever we have such a situation, if you look at three lines from the bottom of yesterday's Amud Beis, Zok Gemara, Hani trei kloli desmich la'adori ninu. It's not your typical klal uprat uklal, it's a klal uprat. It's Amr Avinu Kri, Amr Marov, like they say in Eretz Yisrael. Wherever you find two clouds next to each other, Hatul prat beinayim v'doinim echlal uprat uklal. Then just take the prat that comes at the end and insert it in between the two clouds. Sandwich it between the two bamayim. You have the first bamoyim, and then you have the second bamayim. Throw in the bayamim v'anecholim as the prat between the two clouds. And what do we learn from that klal uprat to klal? Let's see the Gemara at the top of the Omid. Hatul prat beinayim v'doinim echlal uprat uklal. Bamayim is klal. Bayam v'anecholim is prat. Bamayim chos v'kolal. Klal uprat uklal. You have to done al kena prat. Ma prat mefurish mayim noivim. Where does the Torah require fins and scales? Bamayim noivim. Mayim noivim means flowing waters. Because oceans and rivers, by definition, are flowing. Is afkol mayim noivim. So that therefore comes to include from your klal uprat uklal. Every time you have a klal uprat uklal, you're always marbe ke'en haprat. What is the ke'en haprat? Not only yam and cholim, but anything which is like it. Mayim novim, anything which is flowing. Afkol mayim noivim. So you're wondering, what are we going to include, my Rabbi? We include charitzin uneitzin li'isura. What are charitzin uneitzin? Rashi says charitzin are aruchin uktsarim, which means you have long but narrow canals of water, long and narrow tributaries of water. So they're also on the move, but they're much smaller than a yam or a nachal. And the itzin, says Rashi, is that they are somewhat wider and they are used for schools of fish. But once again, we're talking about flowing water. What are we excluding? Why are those different? Because they're not flowing waters. By definition, are stagnant. They stay in one place. So therefore, where do you have to have snapper, vikas, kesses, fins, and scales? Only mamayim, noivim. But not by boyresichen ma'arais. And therefore, if you find a worm that grew in its natural habitat, not that it came from somewhere else, it grew inside the sichen, the boyer sichen ma'aris, it's mutaloch, you're allowed to eat it, even without fins and without scales. That was basically the drasha of the klal uprat klal. And now the Gemara largely repeats what we just said, but instead of talking about a klal uprat klal, we're going to talk about a riboy miyat v'riboy. It's Zvei Rabbi Shmuel Tanu, about a third down the Amid, b'mayim b'mayim shtei pa'amim. Since you find the two b'mayims together, ein ze klal uprat. In this type of situation, don't darshan a klal uprat uklal, because there is no prat separating between the first klal and the second klal. Ela rather darshan riba umit. Now you're wondering, what difference does it make if you darshan a klal uprat uklal or a riboy miut v'riboy? So Rashi has a lengthy explanation what the difference is, but bottom line, Rashi zuktazoy. If we would only say a klal and a prat, we have a rule, ein b'chlal ela mashe b'frat. And what's the reason for that, says Rashi? Because the prat is not a further extension of the klal, but rather the prat is defining the klal. You thought the klal was everything. No. Ein b'chlal ela mashe b'frat, only the prat. So the prat, says Rashi, is a mafarish. It explains what the klal means. Don't think that we've opened up the floodgates. It's only the prat. And if you have a second klal, then it's marve ke'ena prat. Anything which is similar to the prat. That's when you have a klal or prat to klal. When you have a ribi or miyat, says Rashi, you don't start off that way. Ribu you marve everything. The miyat tells you, no, not everything, because I'm going to be mayat certain things. But this is in fact not a pirush, but rather you're being mamayit and saying, it's not that broad cloud that you thought. We're going to go and exclude certain things. Then we have, so basically Rashi says, when you have your ribuy and miut, you're already at the stage of the full klal uprat uklal, that you're going to be marba everything which is ke'en, the miut. What do I use now for the second klal? The second klal comes to tell you, I include everything in the world. Everything, ba, koil, mi, kol, kol. The only thing that I exclude is one or two things. That miut that says in the pasuk, and something which might be similar to what you have in the pasuk. Says our Gemara, under normal circumstances, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, I would learn a klal uprat klal. But because of the fact that they have the two klalim together, and after that the prat, I insert the prat between the two klalim, and I don't learn it klal uprat klal, but riboy miut v'riboy. In our Gemara, it's not going to make much of a difference lahalacha, because we're going to come out basically the same way. So Zok Gemara, Tana Rabbi Shmuel Tana, b'mayim shnei pa'amim, ein ze klal uprat, el riba umiyat. What's a riba miyat? B'mayim is a riba. B'yaman acholim is a miyat. B'mayim chazav a riba. Riba miyat v'riba, riba hakoil. I marba everything. The one means everything. My Rabbi, not only is there an iser to eat a fish without snapper v'kaskeses, b'mayim uvan acholim, but the same thing applies to the charitzin uneitzim. That's what I marba with my riboy miut v'riboy. Even charitzin uneitzim. Or my miut, what do I exclude? By the sichon ma'aretz, which leheteira. And therefore, if you find any type of aquatic creature in the Boris Sichonim Aris, including a water worm, mutalach, you're allowed to go and eat it because that's its natural habitat in the Boris Sichonim Aris. Thank you, Mara. Why am I learning that way? Eima, my riba, why don't I go and say that I'm marba, Boris Sichonim Aris, li'isura, umay miyat, miyat kalim. Maybe I should go and say that even in Boidus Sichonim Aris, you have to be careful to have, every aquatic creature has to have fins and scales, snapper v'kaskeses. And the only thing that I'm in mind is Caleb, that if you have a kli, a basin, anything that
is... Fish tank.
I'm sorry?
A fish tank.
A fish tank, beautiful. I think you said that yesterday, no? Or if...
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Anyway, you have a fish tank, and inside the fish tank you have these worms that are growing. Sol kadai techemini, you'd have to have snapper kaskeses. Zok the Torah, 9. You don't need snapper kaskeses of fish or even worms that are growing in a fish tank. So ibazoi, if I'm going to learn that way, then boirisichon ma'aris are also going to be asur. So how do I know that only the itzin, the charitzin, the itzin are asur, and the boy resichin ma'oris are mutter? Maybe the heter comes to be matter only kalim. Says Yomarim Kain toichlu mayahani lei. What means toichlu mayahani lei? Because if you go back to that first pasuk that we quoted, that pasuk is lechoira repetitive, duplicative, and redundant. In which respect, the pasuk begins. The following you may eat. Put a big colon there. You're allowed to eat the following. What can you eat? Any type of fish that has fins and scales, you can go and eat. And then the pasuk continues on. You're allowed to eat. I already said it at the beginning of the pasuk. In other words, in English, you would be saying, Rabbi, you know what you're allowed to eat? You're allowed to go and eat fish that have fins and scales. Those you're allowed to eat. I already said at the outset, the following you're allowed to eat. Why do I have to repeat again? Oysam toichelu. So that extra, as that toichelu comes to include other aquatic creatures that you're allowed to eat, even without snapper v'kaskeses. And therefore, what does it come to be marbe? Not only kelim, but also boirois, Sichin and Ma'orois, you do not need any fins or scales for these types of worms that grow either in Kalim or in Boiris Sichin Ma'orois. Freit the Gemara, the Eipachana, why do you say that I am being Marbe, the Charitzin, Uneitzin? and I'm being mamayit the boyrus sichin ma'arais, maybe I should go and reverse it and say that just like yamim unecholim, what's the din that you have to have snap b'kas keses? Same thing applies to boyrus sichin ma'arais. So what am I being mamayit? I'm being mamayit the charitzin the itzin. In other words, switch it around. Everything more, that doesn't make sense. Kiratoni matasya, the Tani matasya bar Yehuda, Mayra Isal Rabbis, Boris Sichanum Orais, Lehet Taira. Why do you say the Boris Sichanum Orais, your matter, that you do not need snapper vikaskeses? And Ulohoitze Charitzene Itzin Li Isura, that you do require snapper vikaskeses? Tajma, I'll tell you why. Marbani Boris Sichanum Orais, Shehin Atsurin, Kikalim. I marbe the Boris Sichanum Orais, just like Kalim. You're allowed to eat the water worms without snapper kaskeses. And that's what we learned from the pasuk from the klal who brought the klal, or the riba mid for riboy. And boris tichon aris are just like them. They're atzurim, meaning that they are in a very defined, narrow spot, just like the kalim. Just like the kalim are atzurim. Atzurim means they're stagnant. They don't move. Same thing is, water in boris tichon aris don't move. They are not stagnant. They're always flowing. Like the Gemara said before, that they are noivim. What was the expression Gemara used before? That these are mayim noivim. So, yam and acholim are on the move. Charitz and itzim are on the move. Kalim are atzurim. They're stagnant. So too, boides, sichanim, oris are stagnant. So with this, we've concluded the first part of today's daf, and now the Gemara goes back on yesterday's daf. Well, yesterday's daf, the Gemara said, I have two separate limudim to tell me that kalim, you do not need snapper for kaskeses. And the Mishnah, or the Braisa, referred to them, one as sosum, and one is mafurash. Mafurash, of course, means it's explicit, and sosum means it's not explicit, but it's implicit. And the question is, which are those two psukim? Now, it's clear from yesterday's Gemara that the two psukim are the psukim that we were referencing and quoting earlier. One is the Yeshloi pasuk, and the other pasuk is the Einloi. The Yeshloi is, these are psukim which are back to back in Parsha Shmini. The first pasuk is, Ezeh toichlami koil asher b'moim, koil asher, kol asher loi. Snapper kaskeses l'mayim. That's the yeshloi. It does have fins and scales. You're allowed to eat it. The second pasuk is the einloi. B'chol asher einloi snapper kaskeses l'mayim v'necholim. You're not allowed to eat. Shek etzem lechem. So the question is, which one of these psukim is considered to be the mafurash, that it's explicit that we are excluding kalim, and which is a pasuk which is implicit but is not explicit? Which one is the implicit? Which one is the explicit? Yeshloi means the first pasuk where it says kol asher loy snafikas kesed b'mayim. That's the mefurash. That's the one that tells us kalim. What is the other pasuk? The einloy is the sasum. That's the next pasuk. Einloy snavika kaskeses. That's the implicit pasuk. V'chad omar, and the other man of Yama says it's the other way around, right? The first man of Yama says that the yeshloy, that's the explicit. The einloy is the sasum. V'chad omar pukfaker. The second pasuk einloy, that's the mufurash, and the yeshloy is sasum. If you're wondering what are we talking about, explicit, implicit, mufurash, and sasum, we had that yesterday in the Gemara. You see, about halfway down the Omid, just past halfway down the Omid of Omid Beis of yesterday, it says, Toichlu mikol asher b'moyim matam aloymer, Shiochel hoyl dehitter b'mefoirosh, dehitter b'stam, ma kishihitter b'mefoirosh lehitter b'keilim, af kishihitter b'stam lehitter b'keilim, how do you know boris yichem arois, etc. So you see that the Braisi yesterday used those terms, mefoirosh and stam. Now the Gemara is asking, maybe the same thing should apply over here too. Not that maybe. Gemara is asking, which one is the mefurash and which one is the Stam, and we have a Machlokes. Now the question is, what's the basis of the Machlokes? Says the Gemara, my time is a man, the Yom Yesh Lemafudosh, Amalach, Minei Hudakamishtari Kalim. That's the first pasuk that we have, where the Torah says that make sure that all of your aquatic creatures have snapper because keses, but dafka b'mayim uvanecholim, flowing oceans and flowing rivers. But if you're talking about kalim, no such requirement. Oh, so that's the mafurash. That's the one that we learn this din from. This din of, it has to be only snapper keskeses b'yam enecholim. The second pasuk is not so mafurash. You're wondering, but the second pasuk also says, you're not allowed to eat. What's the difference between one and the other? Just says Rashi, because the first pasuk adds on that oisam toichelu, and therefore it's telling us, when is there a din of snabri kaskeses by yamim uvanacholim oisam toichelu? Those you're allowed to eat with snabri kaskeses. Masha enkein. If it's in Kalim, you do not need this Napa Vikas Keset. Oysam de Chaylu is only by Yam and Chof. Now you don't have that same type of Oysam de Chaylu right after the Yam and Cholim, but rather it's removed a whole bunch of words later. In the same Pasuk it said, Bechalasher, Ein Lois Napa Vikas Keset, B'mayim and Cholim, and then you have another 10 words, Mikol Sher Tzemayim, Mikol Nefesh Echayesh Ebamoyim, Sheketim Lechem. And the next pasuk says, "Mitzarim loyseichelu." So it's much, much later on. So this is much more mafurash that kelim are mutter. My time at the mandiyam yesh le mafurash, amalach minehu dekamishdari kelim. From it alone, from the words "mayim vanecholim," oisam teichelu, you learn directly from that kelim are mutter. My time at the mandiyam ein loy mafurash. That it's the second pasuk. That's the mafurash. Because it's the second pasuk that's moichiach, in other words, that teaches the lesson of the first pasuk. The imeheich, if you only had the first pasuk alone, have a minute of kelim afagav the islay nami loyseich. Yesterday in the Gemara had a fakir to svara. Fakir means just the opposite. Instead of going and saying, the Yam Vanecholim requires Snapi Kaskeses. Kalim does not require Snapi Kaskeses. Let's say the other way around. What's the other way around? That only in Yam Vanecholim do you say that there's a heter to eat the aquatic creatures if they have Snapi Kaskeses. If it's an Akeli, even with Snapi Kaskeses, even if you have a fish that has on it 25 fins, and thousands of scales, you still cannot eat it. So in other words, learn from that, not that kalim you have a heter. What would be the heter? That you're allowed to go and eat aquatic creatures that do not have snapper kaskeses. But learn the iser, that in kalim, even with the fins and scales, you're not allowed to go and eat. You're only allowed to go and eat with fins and scales in yam and cholim. That was a havamina. Zok the Yomara. The second pasuk, however, is Mechiach. It teaches us not to learn it that way, but to learn it the way we are learning. Like the Gemara says, "My tam deman diyama ein loy mefurash." Tahai hu. The second pasuk is the one. The kamoicha chaheich that proves about the first pasuk. The imehech would only be the first pasuk. Have a minute bekelim avigav the islay. Even if it has naber kaskeses, nami loy seichel, you're still not allowed to eat. So not that we're learning from Kalim a hatter, but we're learning halacha to Kalim that it's usher. That's why after the second pasuk it said, no, don't say that. Kalim, in fact, it's mutter, even though there's no snapper, there's no kaskeses, it's a water worm, you're still allowed to go and eat it, if it's not yamim and acholim, if it's in Kalim. So that's why that's the one that's called the mefayish. So we finish now with the drushes, and now we're going to go and talk a little bit about halacha lemaisa. And remember that we are permitting these... Sorry?
Lake. What is it considered?
A lake. Is it a stagnant body of water, or is it on the move? That's why you have to define what a lake means first. So if it's on the move, it's just like Yam and Acholim, just like Charitzin and Itzim, and therefore it would have to have fins and scales. But if you're telling me the lake that you're thinking of is stagnant, never moves, it stays in one place, then would have the same din like the Boyer Sichon Ma'arais and the Kalim, and then you would be able to eat all the natural worms that are born and created in those bodies of water.
Yam Kinneret.
Yes.
In practical terms.
Yes.
Yam Kinneret.
That's a yamim umenecholim. It's a yam, like yamim.
It's called yam. It's a lake.
It doesn't move. I thought the Kinneret moves.
I don't know if it moves or not.
Okay, I'm assuming that it's on the move, and if it's on the move, then you would not be able to go and eat.
It flows either from the north and goes up by the yard into the south.
Then it moves. What is a pond exactly? That's what I didn't understand in the sukkah. I don't know what a pond is.
Pond is a stagnant body of water, that the water stays there, doesn't move, doesn't add, doesn't subtract. You're wondering, how did the water get into the pond? From rain, which we are now being inundated here in the New York metropolitan area with tons and tons of rain, that fills up the pond. And then after that, slowly but surely, keeps on going down, 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 until the next rain, because there is no water that's flowing in or out of it. Just stays stagnant in one place. Okay, so Zukti Mori Yatzvaita. So now, the Gemara is going to add a little bit more color, and tells us that this din, that you're allowed to eat water worms that grew spontaneously inside Kalim or inside Boyre Sichonim Arois, that's only if they remained in their natural habitat. If you take those worms out with a cup, with a sieve, with whatever, then that halacha no longer applies and you would not be able to go and eat from those worms. And that's what if...
And how do you eat them if you don't extricate them from the liquid?
The Gemara said yesterday by the Boyer Sichonim Arois that the person was bent over into it and drank from that water directly. And as he's drinking, he feels something in his mouth. And he finds that he has a worm in his mouth. And the first thing the person wants to do is go and immediately run to the sink or to the biskise to relieve himself of that worm in his mouth. Our Gemara tells us that you're allowed to go and eat that worm. He does not have to go and spit it out. If you want to take a quick look at yesterday's Gemara, it was about almost three-quarters down the line, three-quarters down the daf, the Omud, where it says, "Minayin l'rabbis boyer sichonim arish sheshoicha v'shoisim mehen v'ein nimna." Even though you know that there might be water worms there, you're allowed to bend over and put your head into the bar and start drinking. Make sure you make a shahakel first, not only on the water, but also on the worms, and you go and eat and drink to your heart's delight. I would not recommend it. I don't think you'd have too many customers. Anyway, Amar Rav Huna, we're now four lines before the wide lines. Amar Rav Huna lo lishvi inish shikra bitzviyasa biarta. Sheikhar is beer. Beer in the good old days was not made so much like we have today. It was made out of tamarim. And tamarim dates often are wormy, even today. That's why all the kashrus organizations will tell you that even if it has a kosher symbol on dry dates, the best thing is open up the date before you eat it to make sure you don't have any regrets. Anyway, so now a person has beer and he's afraid that there are worms inside the beer. Now, if the worms grew naturally inside the date and the date you mixed with water and you made beer out of it, you'd be allowed to eat from those worms, because the halacha of eating worms, water in Kalim is lav dafka water, but even other mashkois, like we're talking about, like the sheikhar. Okay, so now the person wants to remove the worms. He cannot remove the worm by using a sieve, because the worms are just too large and they would stuff up all of the holes and you wouldn't get very far. So he made a filter made out of pieces of wood, wood chips. Normally that does a great job. You pour out the beer onto the wood chips. Anything which is a solid, such as the water worm, is going to attach itself to that wood chip, and then the rest of the beer is going to go down through the holes in the wood chips, and you'd be able to drink the beer. The problem is, if you do that at night, what might happen is that whilst you went to sleep, and what did Ariel say before, and he was unaware of the rain when he was sleeping and slumbering, the same thing is going to happen with these water worms or these beer worms. They're going to say, you know, it's kind of dry out here. I'd like to be back in liquid. And this water worm that had been stopped by the filter made out of the wood chips is going to slip through the cracks and settle once again back into the beer. Now you're no longer allowed to go and eat from it because it already left its natural habitat that it was created in initially. So that's why Ravuna says, Lishvi. Lishvi means to pour. Don't pour. Lishvi inish. A person should not pour shichra, beer, bitzav yosa, in such a filter that has the wooden chips, ba'arta, at night, because at night you don't see what's going on. Dilma, parish le'el mitzav yosa, maybe during the night whilst you're sleeping, what's going to happen is that same water worm is going to leave the tzav yosa, the wood chips, and it's going to fall back into the original kois, which from which it came. Baba Oyver now is going to be Oyver Mishum. Sheretz Ashoyretz Al Ha'oretz. So, even though he's not going to be Oyver in the snapper v'kaskesis issue, he's going to be Oyver on Sheretz Ashoyretz Al Ha'oretz. Sheretz Ashoyretz Al Ha'oretz means that the Sheretz had an opportunity to leave its natural habitat and to walk on the ground. And that's what happened. It walked on top of these wood chips, and therefore it's going to be osur to eat. Break timara, ihachin imana nami. Why don't you say the same thing anytime you pour the beer or the water into the cup, into the kli, even without using that sieve to go and filter out the worms? Because what do the worms do inside the cup? They don't just sit there on the bottom and they say, oh, it's nice and wet, gishmak. They typically move up and down, and they're going to move on the sides of the doifin of the mana. And then after they are too dry and they say, okay, I want some wetness, they're going to go back inside. Lahavdil, just like a person who loves swimming during the summer, and he's in the swimming pool, but from time to time he'll come out to rest, and he'll sit outside, and he'll say, okay, back into the water. So you're going to have this water worm, or this beer worm, that it was inside, it was created naturally inside the beer, and after a while it says, you know what, I want to go to the defanim, I want to go and see what's going on in the world, and touch, it cleaves and attaches itself to the wall of the kli, and goes back in again. So why don't you say, yachim imana nami, dilma parish ledaftin the mana, maybe the worm left the beer, now attached itself to the wall of the kli, and then not enough of the mana and falls back in again. So you don't have to talk about that the worm fell onto and stayed temporarily on the wood chips and then fell in, and there were no wood chips. It just touched the walls of the kli. Everything mara hainu hasam hainu rabise. That's natural in terms of the way worms grow and work and act. In other words, what we're expanding is their natural habitat. The natural habitat is not just the water or the beer in which they were born, in which they were created, but also the defane hamona, the walls of the kli, because you have to expect that the water worm is going to climb up and down from time to time and be on the walls. So that's not considered to be sheretz hashoyretz al ha'aretz. Preiti mar ubinot teimra. How do I know? Sukmar desanya, I have in the brisa. Minai in the rabbi's boy sichanim aroi shishoyche v'shoyisim ehen. The question that Ariel asked before: how do you know boy sichanim aroi? You can go and drink directly from them. Ve'ein a niman. You don't have to worry about the water worms. Tamaloimar toichul nikolasher b'moyim. Frank Timura, but maybe Velechish Duma Parish Ladafna Vahadan Afil. Maybe the water worm that's now in the water that you're drinking from the Baris Yichan Maris, maybe there was a period of time that they went and climbed up the wall of the Bar Sihamara, and then after that they said, okay, it's too dry up here, and they dropped back down into the Bar Sihamara. So why isn't that a problem? It's Sheritz Asheritz Alaret. Elohain Rabbi said, because that's its natural way of living and existing. Hachanami Hain Rabbi say that's natural. So therefore, if it remained in the water or on the Defane Hakli, no Isser of Sheritz Asheritz Alaret. If it went on to the wood chips, then you got a problem. Amli Rav Chizda Ravuna Tanim Sailoch, I have a riot to you. It says in the Pasikul Asheritz Asheritz Alaret, the rabbis Yavchushin Shesinanan. Yavchushin are a form of gnat. Gnats. Shesinanan, that means that you put it through the sieve. Why does it have to talk about that you put it through the sieve? Why don't you just talk about the gnats which were in the water or in the beer initially? Time is a sinanan. Halei sinanan chari, as long as they were still within their natural habitat, even if they came up on the defane hakli, or the defane habar siach umaara, still mutalach, because hainu ribis. And now we're going to continue further talking about sheretz to sheretz al aretz. We're leaving the water, and now we're talking in general, about sheretz to sheretz al aretz. And the Gemara is going to tell us that there's a difference between worms that grow inside fruits naturally. We spoke about the dates before. You open up the date and you find a worm inside. So these worms grow spontaneously inside the fruits or the vegetables. At some point, you're eventually going to detach them from the ground or from the tree. As long as they're attached, they're called mechuber. Once you detach them, they become tolush. What's the nafkimina between mechuber and tolush? As long as they're mechuber and they are creeping and crawling along, they would have a din of sheret hashoyret al ha'oret. Why? They never came out of the fruit or the vegetable. Makes no difference. The fruit or the vegetable is an extension of the oretz because it's still mechuber lekark. However, once it's tolish, once you cut the fruit or the vegetables from the ground, and now you have a worm growing inside, that worm, as long as it's not come out la'avir ha'oilam, is mutalach, because it's no longer sheretz al aretz. The fruit or the vegetable is no longer attached to the ground. So Gemara is going to explain this in greater detail. Omishmor, hishus shesliya. Kishus means from the gourd family, like kishuim. So it include your pumpkins and your cucumbers, etc. Shislia, that unfortunately became wormy. Bi'iveha. Bi'iveha means when it's still attached to the ground in its natural habitat. Asura, you're not allowed to eat from those worms. Why? Shema sheretz, hashoyretz ala oret. Mind you, this worm never came out of the fruit, or in this case, out of the gourd. It was born in the gourd, it's been in the gourd ever since birth and since creation, and now I open it up and I say, ay, 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 there are worms inside. You're not allowed to eat those, they are sheretz, asheretz, ala aretz. But it didn't come out on the aretz. Since it's mechuba lekarka, it's considered to be sheretz ala aretz. Leim Mesayle. I'm going to bring a raya to this halacha that we just had of Shmuel. The Tani Chodit is one brisa that says, "Sheretz Hasheretz al ha'aretz, al ha'aretz lohitzi es hazizin shebadashim." Comes to exclude zizim and yitushim are basically synonymous, says Rashi. The zizim are gnats that grow in adashim. Adashim are lentils. Yitushim are another form of gnats. Today we call them in Eretz Yisrael mosquitoes, but I don't know that that's the taich in the Gemara. Also a form of gnats. Shebeklisim. The art scroll says klisim means chickpeas, like you eat arbis on Eshulam Zuchar. Chickpeas. Betelah shebetmar. More if you're talking about a worm that grew in dates. Shebegroigers, or in figs. All of these are excluded from sheretz asheretz alaretz lahoitzi. In other words, there is no iser in eating any of these al sheretz aretz. But I have another brayser, same pasuk kol asheretz asheretz ala aretz. The rabbis, it comes to include toilas, a worm, should the ikrei zaysim, that are in the roots of the zaysim trees, of the olive trees. It should be ikrei gefanim, or in the roots of the vines in a vineyard. So here, the first brisa says, I'm excluding these bugs and these worms. The second brisa says, the rabbis, I'm including. So make up your mind. My love, either the peira. In all of these cases, both brises are talking about the gnats and the worms you found in the fruit themselves. Why does one brises say, Osir, one says, butter, Behab Iveha, the second brises that says that the trilas of the ikri zaysim is also Osir al sheretz, al sheretz al aretz, because it's still Iveha, it's still Mechubar le karka, it's still attached to the ground. So walking inside the zayis or the gefen is like walking on the ground because it's all mechubar, it's all one. And the second brisa, the first brisa, the tani chada, that la'aretz la'hoitzis the zizim, they were excluding the zizim and were saying that those are mutalach, it's talking shalaybi there, it's no longer attached to the ground, and these bugs grew post detached from the ground, so therefore they were never on the ground. They don't have a din of sheretz aretz, and therefore,
how can I tell?
We're talking. If you cannot tell, then you can't eat them.
Of course, we cannot tell. You can't ask the sheretz. When did you install yourself?
You could probably.
There should be a gazeta de rabbonon that is also.
Okay,
so it's very difficult to differentiate.
Okay, so I and you, certainly I cannot differentiate between when the worm grew. If we're talking about that the date is still attached to the tree, I open it up and I see that there is a worm there, you not, may not eat that worm because that is shoyritz al aretz. That you're not going to eat. If I just cut off the date from the tree and I open up and I see there's a worm inside, I'm not allowed to go and eat from it. Why? Because it was shoyritz until now, al ha'aretz. What happens, however, if I have this detached date and I leave it out in the field to go and dry up, and then 2 months later, I pick it up and I open up and I see that there's a worm, if it looks like an altavarm, 100%, you're not allowed to eat from it. It was shoyritz al ha'aretz. We assume that it was born and created before you harvested the date. However, if it looks like a brand new worm, I myself could not tell the difference between an old worm and a new worm, but presumably people that are familiar with this type of thing was, oh, this worm was probably just born a few days ago. Probably the parents just made a kiddush on Shabbos in honor of this worm. If they say that it's a brand new worm, since you found it within the date and it was never sheretz al ha'aretz, you're allowed to go and eat from it. Okay? Good. So, your question about the gzeira, you normally find the Gemara that a davar shchiach, the rabbanim made gzeiras. Davar shaloi shchiach, they didn't make gzeiras. I'm assuming that, as Bill was suggesting before, that there are no restaurants that go and advertise, we sell delicious kosher worms, and so therefore it was not a concern. Most people, when they see a worm, they don't ask any questions. Will I be oyve sheretz or sheretz aretz? Will I not? Because these are the types of things that people don't eat. So you don't need to make a gzeda to ask of them. They're aser, not that they're aser, even if they're mutter, people are not going to bother it. Okay.
In the Middle Ages,
yes,
they had a diet of worms.
Is that right? Diet of worms. Okay. And
yeah,
it was
the parliament.
It was, it was
called a diet.
I understand. And it was in Germany, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all of the legislators at that time, all anti-Semitic, they were probably all the Bechinas worms.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how it got its name. Okay, anyway.
In practical terms,
yes.
We buy compost. Do we have to be concerned? How is the Ashgacha made over these things to know the difference if it was before or after? How do they give Ashgacha on jams and compost halacha lemaisa?
Halacha lemaisa.
And if you need Ashgacha. If you need Ashgacha over these things.
You definitely need Ashgacha for a number of reasons. Because if you have a kumquat, for instance, that you're buying in a can or in a bottle, you don't know what the liquid is made out of. They might have added a drop of wine to the liquid to give it more ta'am. Or, for that matter, any other type of non-kosher ingredient to give it more flavor. So you certainly need Ashgacha. Now, if you're asking what does the Ashgacha include, I'm not in the Ashgacha business, but I'm under the impression that the first thing that they're going to do is have people check all of the fruits that they're using for that kompot to make sure that there are no worms in it. They're not going to start saying, well, is this a sheretz, al oretz? Was it attached when it was still, the worm grew when it was still a date on the tree? Or did it only grow later and therefore it happens to be kusha? They're not going to ask those types of questions. As soon as they see worms, they're going to extract and extricate all of them and throw them out. In fact, it could very well be that if they find a wormy fig or date, they'll just throw the whole thing out, not just the worm.
Sure.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, l'choira have a good teraya to Shmuel from the fact that I have two brises. One says you're allowed to eat the worms. One says you're not allowed to eat the worms. It depends. If it was still attached to the tree, Ivel, you're not allowed to eat because of sheretz or sheretz al-aretz. If it was detached and these worms grew subsequent to the cutting, the harvesting of the dates, then you would be able to eat. So that's a teret. It will light. No. That's no raya. Either be either be there. Could be that both of them are talking about they're still attached to the tree. Ah, so he's talking about then. How does one brice he said mutter and one says that it's asur? After the imar of lekasha bepeira habi ilna gufa. Depends. Where did you find? There's a little bit of noise in the background. Please put yourselves on mute. Either be there. Both of them are talking about that they are still attached to the tree. Where did you find those worms? If you found the worms inside the peiros, maybe we disagree with Shmuel. And we hold that you are allowed to eat those worms, and they do not have a din of sheretz ala oretz, even though they're still be'iveha, they're still in the natural habitat and they're still attached to the tree. Not like Shmuel. Why does the second brayser say that it's asur? Ha be'il negufa, not that you found the worms inside the fruit. You found the worms inside the tree, under the bark, and you want to eat those worms. No. The second brayser says, l'rabois, you're not allowed to eat those worms. So you're going to tell me, what's the difference? Dekanami dektani. Look at the second brayser. The second brayser says, Rabbis Talashe be ikre zeisim. It should be ikre gefanim. Why does he use the term ikre? Ikre, of course, means the root. Root means the tree itself. Shema minos. You see, that's taka osir. That's sheretz al oretz. Because that oretz doesn't have to mean the sand or the earth on the ground, the dirt on the ground. What we're talking about is anything which is connected to the ground. So if it's connected to the ground, then the peiros are also connected to the tree. That's true. However, the peiros are osid litolish, osid liktzar, the kala oimid litolish kitolish dami, even if it's still connected, but it's not going to stay there forever. The purpose of these fruits is to go and harvest them and to eat. And even if you don't harvest them, they're eventually going to fall off the tree onto the ground. So therefore, they're not permanent oretz. That's why there's no din of sheretz or sheretz al oretz. Mashenkin, the trees are permanent. The reason why you planted the tree, you're hoping it's going to last for at least 50 or 100 years or longer. So that's called sheretz al oretz. So no raya tishmur. Zokimar. What happens now? We're talking now, at this point, says Rashi, with tlushim. Tlushim means that you've cut your peiros, and if you open it up, and you find brand new toiloim, they were just born inside this date, and you can see inside that they are new shratzim, as long as they're inside the fruit and they didn't come out, it's not sheretz al oretz. What happens if you open the fruit and you took that worm and you put it on the ground and it started moving? Clearly that's sheretz al oretz. The Gemara wants to know what happens in between. What means in between? Boy Rabbi Yosef, Parsha, the worm finally exited the fruit, but instead of starting to walk around, it plunged to its death. Umeisa. Why? Either because it committed suicide or because it fell naturally, but it died. By the fact that it died, it was never shoyret ala oret. Shoyret means to act like a creeping critter, to creep. It never crept anywhere. It crept into its death crypt. It never moved. So now the question is this also aser al sheret to shoyret ala oret? Mal. Miktsasu mal. What happens if part of the worm left its natural habitat, the fruit, and part of it, half of it, crept on the ground, but half of it was still inside the fruit and never left the fruit. What would be the din? Would you say that it's chariots ala aretz or not? Or even more than that, la'aver oilam ma'avu. It only came out into the aver oilam. In other words, you opened up the date and you see the worm, and now the worm says, I can finally breathe. I was stuck inside this date. I felt it was going to be forever. Now aver oilam. Is this enough for purposes of sheretz or sheretz al art? Now Rashi says, avada, it wasn't sheretz. It only came to avra oilam. But since it was ro'oi to go and be sheretz al art, maybe that's enough to go and give a heter. So those who will be more listen, what's the status of all these three? Is it sheretz al art or not? The Gemara concludes, take. Similar. Boy Ravashi, legag tomorrow mau, legag gari nosa mau. Me tomorrow the tomorrow mau. Yes, the date, not the date, the worm left the tomorrow, but it never got to the ground, but rather it climbed on top of the date itself. It could have gone downwards towards the earth and crept on the earth, but it didn't. It just crept on the outside of the tomorrow. So that's the question. Is that considered to be sheretz al aret? Or, like we had in the Gemara in the Amud Aleph, Hainer Abisei, the worm feels very comfortable in this date because that's where it's been living since it was born, and it's just coming out for a little fresh air, and it's going to go right back. Like on the Defanei Hakli that we had before, that's its natural way of growing. So the Gag Tamara Mau, the Gag Garin Nasa Mau, it was creeping inside, but not that it went outside, but it went on top of the Garin. Garin means the pit. So Rashi says that the worm grows from inside the pit, and now when you find it on top of the pit, means it left its natural birthplace inside the pit, and now it's outside the pit. Maybe that's also considered to be sheretz ala aretz. What about mitmar l'tmar mahu? What happens if you have in your package, you have a whole bunch of dates, one next to each other, and one of the worms made a hole in its date and crept inside the neighboring date, right next to it. But the mice never saw the light of day, never saw Avra Oilam. It never went on the ground. It went from date to date. What's the din? Is it Chariot Ala Aretz? Again, take them. And now we leave dates, and now we're going to go and talk about worms that you find, unfortunately, in the body of an animal, such as you find worms in a lung or in a covate in the liver. What about those worms? Amr of Sheish Bereda of Idi, Kukiyoni Asiri. If you find such body worms in the lungs or in the liver, also to eat. Why? My time and the almasr. They didn't grow spontaneously inside the body of the animal. The animal ate something which had worms in it. For instance, the animal ate a date, and the date went now into its body. Part of it went down the veshet, down the food pipe, and the worms somehow, they managed to get out and go through the windpipe. It went through the kana, and now you find it all of a sudden in the rayon, or you find it in the covate. The question is, what's the din? Says the Gemara, it's obvious they came me'alma, and if they came from outside, so they have the status of sheretz or sheretz ala aretz, therefore, also to eat. Maskul Ravashi. Ime alma, if these really came from outside the body of the animal, l'shtakut derech beis harei. I shouldn't go and find this inside the rei or inside the kaveh. Rather, I should find it in the digestive system. I should go and find it in one of the four stomachs, the keva, the keres, the hemsis, pesachoises, or I should find it in the dakin, in the intestines, or I should go and find it as it's coming out, the besarei, from the animal's backside. That's where I should go and find it. I shouldn't go and find it in the lungs. I shouldn't go and find it inside the liver. Is l'choyer, therefore, it was born, its natural habitat was inside the body of the animal. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created body worms inside the body. And therefore it should be mutalach. It was never shariat ala aretz. On the other hand, ikadiyami, there was another version, Amrav Shisha Barei Ravidi, kukiyani ashari. In fact, you are allowed to eat those body worms that you find inside the lungs or inside the liver. My time aminav gavli. They grew spontaneously inside the animal itself, and they didn't come from out of space, from elsewhere. And therefore it was never sharit salaritz, it's mutter. Omarabashi, pshita, the ime alma ka'asu, lishtachu derech beisarei. Ravashi said that we just heard from Rav Shisha, that it's mutter. Of course it's mutter. Because if the animal ingested them as he's eating, then you should find it in the beisarei, in the digestive system. You wouldn't find it in the lungs or in the liver. However, the halacha is kukiyani asiri, because the taka came from outside. But you're asking, if it came from outside the body of the animal, you should find it derech beisarei. It's talking about not that the animal ate something and the worm went into the body, but rather, my time amenim nayim. The animal was snoozing. It was sleeping. The ayilei beusya. And what happened was that the worms crept into the body through the nose, through the nostrils, and then made its way down into the kana, and from the kana into the reya. So the itaka came from outside. There were sheretz, sheretz, ala oretz. If you open up one of those reyes and you find those worms, kukiyani are aser. If you eat them, not only are you over on an iser, you are cuckoo. You're kukiyani. Don't eat the worms because they came from outside the body. Nu shtiku. Toiloim darni debisra asiri de kavri sharian. Rashi says darni means that you found the worms in between the skin and the flesh, number one, of the animal, or between the skin and the flesh of the fish. So if you find taloyim inside between the skin and the flesh of an animal, it's aser. By a fish, it's mutter. And in fact, Omer Ravina l'imei, Ravina said to his mother, Ivel livani echol, if you ever find these types of worms between the skin and between the flesh of the fish, mommy, don't worry about it. Don't go and inspect. Don't pull out those worms. Leave them there. I'm going to eat, because we just said, the kavri yisharia. Why do you eat those worms? Why is it different from the sign we learned in the Braisa? That if you find these types of worms between the skin and the flesh of an animal, they're aser. Tishaketsu, it's shek, it's betunish acid. Why by fishes? Manishtana, between meat and fish, that meat of the flesh of an animal, you say that they're usr, and by fish you say that they're mutter. See, Moritz says a very interesting teretz. Omli hochi hashti, you really cannot compare. Because behema b'shchituhu d'mishtariya. Until you shecht an animal, the whole animal, bakol mikol kol, whatever is inside the animal is usr to eat, als evr menachai, including the worms are inside the animal. It's all usr. What makes the behema mutter? When you shecht, says the Gemara, behema b'shchituhu d'mishtari, the shchit is matir to eat now from the flesh, from the basar of the behema. V'hani, but these worms, they don't have shchit, there's no such thing as shechting worms. If that's the case, b'suraya kaima, they remain in their original iser. So the shchita was matir, the evim menachai of the animal, but it was not matir, the worms inside the animal. That's why they are awesome. Aval dogim don't require shchita. Dogim asifim ba'alam mishteri. As we all know, dogim you don't need to go and shecht. You just have to collect them from the water and kill them and eat them. So there's no din of shechita. So therefore, all along, there was never an Eber Menachai din. So these worms grew beheter from the first moment. They grew inside a fish that didn't require any shechito. You just have to pluck him out of the water, and then you go and eat it. So therefore, just like you were able to eat them previously, the whole fish you were able to eat, you didn't need shechito, you were able to eat the worms, and you can continue eating them now as well. And that's why Ravina ate them. Now the Gemara brings another related pasuk. Tana Rabbanan. Yes.
Someone told a couple years ago, they talked about it's worms and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was whether you can eat them or not. I've seen videos where you see worms, you know, salmon, you buy it in the store. According to this, it should be okay, I guess.
Our Gemara is only talking in that darni, which grow in between the skin and between the fish itself. Not if the worms grow inside the fish itself. That's how Rashi defined. If you look at Rashi, Darni, 6-7 lines before the end, Darni teloyim animtim vein or lebasar kishmafshitun abahema. You're skinning now the animal, or you're skinning the fish, and you find teloyim, and you say, not holy cow, but holy worm. Can you eat them or not? By the basar, yes. By the fish, I'm sorry, by the basar not, and by the fish, yes. But again, we're talking about these special worms, not worms in the fish itself. Okay, we have another pasuk now. Pasuk Beis in the Torah HaRasholim, Kol hoylech al gochen, kol hoylech al arba, ad kol marba gerglein, kol esheretz esheretz ha'aretz, lo yisoichlem. You're not allowed to eat them because they're sheketz hay. So Gemara wants to know, what's this long pasuk all about? Torah ban, hoylech al gochen, you're not allowed to eat zenochash. You're not allowed to go and eat a snake. It's hoylech al gochen. It walks on its belly. And then it says in the pasuk, v'choyel hoylech al gochen. That koyel comes to tell us the rabbis has shilshul v'yasadom l'shilshul. Shilshul does not mean, in this case, diarrhea, but it means, says Rashi, t'ilas arucha kenochash, when you have one of these long, long worms that almost looks like a baby snake. Those are also awesome. And then it's a v'chol hoylech al arba. Arba means the akrav. It's talking about a scorpion that walks on 4 feet. V'chol hoylech, what is the koil hoylech al arba? Koil hoylech l'rabbis es achipushes. Es adoyme l'achipushes. What is achipushes? Says Rashi, and iskarabuti, whatever that is. I have with me an English translation. Let's see, what does he say on the chipushes?
Sure, he says, the beetle, and that which resembles a beetle.
Ah, beetle. Oh, shkoyach. Can't be beat. Thank you very much, brother. Shai chepush means a beetle. Also, usher to eat.
Yeah.
You're terrible. Ad kol mari reglaim. Mari reglaim is a noddle. Noddle means a centipede. Centipede, as you know, has, they say, 100 feet, and that's why it's called center, just like century. So, mari reglaim, you now let eat a centipede. Ad kol, the rabbi says, adoyme v'yasadoyme l'doyme. Not only centipedes, but other types of creeping critters that have multiple feet. All to our osir, because they're doyme to the centipede. And finally, we have the final pasuk, and now we're going to talk about better things. We're going to talk about a leviosan. We're mitchim all going to eat from the leviosan soon, the kar of mamish. Is leviosan a kosher fish or not? I've never seen a leviosan. Does it have fins or scales? It's Tanya Rabbi Yosef in Damascus Oymer. Levyosin Dag Toru. Yes, it's a kosher fish. Shneim, it says in the Pasik in Eoyv. Gava afike moginim sogur choysem tsar. What does that mean? Gava afike moginim tachtav chadude chores. So that's the second Pasik. Tachtav chadude chores. And that Pasik is about 15 psukim after the previous pasuk, the Gav. And both of these psukim are talking about the Levyosan. So, explains Zigmar. Afikim maginim elu kaskasim sheboy. When we talk about maginim, that's moge. Moge means a shield. So the Levyosan has shields. Those are the Gav afikim maginim. Those are the shields, meaning the kaskasim. And then it continues on. Tachtav chadude chores. What does that mean? Chores elu snapirim. Those are the snapir, the fins. That it goes and swims with. Ah, so you have now two psukim, one talking about the kaskasim, one talking about the snapir. So kamash malon, that the levyosin is a kosher fish, and you're allowed to eat it, and yet the shem bekarav will all be zoichet to eat it in the Sukkah Shalav Yosef. Hamel Lachila, Treifel Lachila, Treifel Lachila, Treifis. Mitchum, tomorrow we start a brand new perek. Behema Hamekasha Leilei. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Zayt. Zayt the Bench, Zayt Kizu.
Oh, man, I get the joke.